The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Make these words more than words, and give us all the Spirit of Jesus. Amen. Hopelessly lost. We find Moses and his people wandering in the wilderness, griping and lonely. They're pining for Egypt. They don't know how to get along with one another, and they don't trust this smoky, disembodied, so-called God that Moses says he talks to, not in the least. Like most of us, they'd rather dance around a golden statue and hope things turn out well enough for most people. Once slaves with no hope but the lash, they are now tasked with being together. And so it is in this moment that God comes once again to save them. This time, however, God does not save them by helping them in their daring escape across the Red Sea or by feeding them with quail and manna, but simply by making them more than a collection of escaped slaves. God saves them by making them a people. God's salvation is the reordering of a society addicted to fear into a society empowered by love. So God provides for them a social contract, the beginnings of what it might look like to live together. So work with me here, an act of imagination. God says to Moses, "Let's start over, shall we?" "If you say so," says Moses. "Here, let's start with these 10 simple rules." And I can imagine Moses stumbling down the hillside with these tablets, thinking to himself, "Just 10? This is never going to work." But with a Cheshire grin, Moses approaches his anxious people. And he says, "I have good news and bad news. 10 simple rules. 10. That's all. No more. 10. What makes it so hard to keep these 10 things in mind and not foul it up somehow? And after Las Vegas, how can I not, as a preacher, find some way to dig back into this question again? So here goes. I have good news and bad news. God's call is the same as it ever was. And America is a society that is afraid of itself. Increasingly complex, the United States is not likely on the road to greater social simplification, and so we are afraid of everything, of everybody. But preacher, who is this we you're referring to? Excellent question. We are the empowered, the privileged, those whose ancestors embraced colonial fever and manifest destiny. We are those who believe wealth for its own sake is a blessing, that good people only go to Christian schools, that an Ivy League education will save you, that owning more guns is godly, and that racism is something either we've progressed upon or it's a myth invented by the media elite. This is who we are. And we all want to make America great again. All of us. Of course, We differ in the definition of greatness that we might deploy. But we who strive for greatness share this one thing in common. We're afraid. We are afraid of people who don't look like us, talk like us, or eat like us. We are afraid of people who don't sing like us, spend money like us, or govern like us, most especially those people. We are afraid of people who don't vote like us, love like us, or go to church with us. Afraid. Of course, now some of us are right to be afraid. If you're an indigenous person, a person of color, LGBTQI, or most women in this country, you are likely afraid, and for good reason. You are surrounded by people who have a clear track record of hurting you or the people whom you love. Which means the rest of us have been taught to be afraid. And we've learned that our violence is righteous, that life is a zero-sum game, that sharing is something we learn to do in kindergarten, but leave it there. I am the learned adult white male, and I need to build a wall between myself and those who will take away what is rightfully mine. It's mine. Not yours. I'm sorry. The corner office, the faculty appointment, the government job, the book contract, and even that choice rector's position, it's mine. I'll legislate that into being if that helps you gain some clarity there. Someone get me a piece of paper and a pen. But then right on time, here comes Moses walking down the hill, and he's got two tablets and that annoying grin on his face. God's salvation is the reordering of a society addicted to fear into a society empowered by love. America, we need to once again take a long, hard look at ourselves. What happened last Sunday in Las Vegas is not new. Horrifying, heartbreaking, sure, but not new. It's news, and that's different than unique or original or some otherwise strange aberration in the long history of violence in the United States. Nor is our hesitancy to legislate the control of violence as long as it doesn't threaten the state. Ask any 3/5 of a person about the history of American violence. Ask those whose families who lived on this land 1,000 years ago about our history of violence. Gun violence is most certainly a social ill. But the problem is it doesn't threaten the state. Instead, it makes a lot of people a lot of money and presents to the world a standing army of overzealous gun collectors. Guns and the sacrificial system of gun violence is just one form of the violence we idolize in the United States. One of the many idols we have cleverly built to memorialize our fears. We pray to them. We cry out to them. We sacrifice one another to them and call it freedom. We return to them again and again, hoping just this once they will respond in favor to us. And everything will be just like it was before, back in Egypt, when everything was great. when some of us had absolute power, and others had the powerful to provide for them if they would just stay in their place. It's an incredible temptation. We've seen it. It's an addiction. This idolatrous power founded on fear is an addiction. And it's damnation. It is the crushing weight of a rejected stone. It's simply not what God wants for us. Because God wants our salvation. With love beyond measuring, God is desperate for us. God desires the salvation of every last one of us together as a society. No one is set aside. No one is left out. No one is on the margins. Instead, the mighty are cast down and the lowly are lifted up. This is what salvation looks like. It looks like all of us together, or it's simply not salvation. God's salvation is the reordering of a society addicted to fear into a society empowered by love. So, friends of God, we have good news and bad news. God comes to us wearing that same grin that Moses had when he came down from the mountain. God walks right up to us, the tenants, whom she has put in charge, right into our courthouses, right into our state houses, into the White House, and she says, "No, enough now. I have come for you, all of you together, to redeem and restore you, to banish fear, to end greed, to lift up the lowly, to cast the mighty from their thrones so that they too might know the grace of salvation." Surely, God desires the salvation of all of us together. But friends, it is we who have the responsibility of stopping the fear. And it's only together that we can put an end to it. It is we who must end the fear we have of one another and set the idols aside. We must reach out across the aisles. We must tear down the walls we want to build. We must end the cycles of hate. Only then will we find peace. For this is not God's work alone. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.